Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Ontario country artist Jamie Stever is a week away from releasing his new album entitled Pretty Good Start. He's written the songs on the CD with some pretty big Nashville writers. One of the songs is called No One's Stronger Than a Mother, and it's being used to help the great organization MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. We'll talk about that on the show and a whole lot more. Time now to welcome Jamie Stever. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Well, the album is just a week away from release. It's called Pretty Good Start. Some great songs on it. I had a chance to go online and listen to some of them. And how does it feel now to have this album all ready to be released and to share with all your fans?
Well, we're really excited about the album. And, you know, it's been a long haul. And, you know, I'm just about doing everything right. And you know, I had the album I had pretty much done. And then I went kind of back to the drawing board and I decided to change five tracks, actually, on the album. So I ended up working the album, wrote five new songs and put them on his den. We recorded down in Nashville, and yeah, so I'm excited that it's finally, this part of it's finally done, and now we're going to get it to the fans.
That's awesome. That takes a lot of, I don't know if the word is courage, but to take the time to, you know, get rid of the other five tracks and start from scratch. I guess your philosophy is you want to get it done right, and so whatever it takes to get to that point as opposed to just rushing something.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it's like for song, like I'm big on songwriting. So for the last 12 years, you know, I've been working hard as being a songwriter and pitching songs to people in Nashville. And just, you know, a couple years ago, I met with someone down in Nashville at a major publishing company, one of the big guys, and he said, "Man, you should be doing this, you know, yourself. Like, you can sing, you can do it." So I said, "You know what? I'm gonna just do it, you know, and that way I can get my songs cut a lot quicker because I'm singing them."
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting. So you first started out in all this with the idea of being a songwriter and not an artist.
That's right. Yeah. Like I've always played music. Like, I mean, I wanted to be, you know, a guitar master when I was younger. I even studied classical guitar in university. And so people are like, "What? And you're a country guy? Like, what's going on?" I said, "It's not about that. It's about becoming the ultimate musician." And I always say at radio interviews, I'm like, "I know another guy. His last name is Paisley, and he's not a bad guitar player either." So
exactly. Now, you've managed to write with some pretty big names in Nashville, people who've written some pretty big songs, and your producer, Brian G. White, the big song for Rodney Atkins called Watching You, and many others. How did you start hooking up with these writers who have some pretty big credits to their name?
Well, it started, I'll try to make this real brief, the story, but I met with Jason Bloom, who's like a songwriter guy, has a songwriting book out there called Six Steps to Songwriting Success. And I met with Jason in Toronto just for a brief meeting. He was doing a seminar, and I said, "Look, let's just meet up at the hotel." And so I got an appointment with him. And from that, you know, he really liked what I was doing, and he handed me a flyer for this Texas songwriter cruise. So a year went by, and I thought, yeah, I didn't go on the cruise that year, and maybe I'll look it up. So I looked it up online, and they had a contest to, you know, whoever writes the best song, any genre basically, gets the free cruise. So the catch was that you didn't find out if you're the winner until you're on the cruise ship, so you had to pretty much sign up and go. So I made a decision on a Saturday night, and I was in Texas Sunday morning to get on this cruise ship because three of my songs I submitted got selected – in the competition. So they were a finalist in the country category. So I'm like, I have to go, you know. As it turned out, somebody with electronic music or someone from, you know, New York, because they kept picking country year after year. But I think it was that meeting, and they have basically publishers and songwriters from Nashville. A lot of Nashville-based people were on the ship. Jay Levine, who was in Philosopher Kings, you know, that band out of Canada. They did pretty good for themselves, and he's in New York, so it was nice to meet him. And so anyways, I met Tom Lutheran from EMI Music and Steve Hunsey from Parallel Entertainment, and that's where it all started. And, you know, I decided to head down to Nashville about a year after that, and I just made friends with those guys, and I didn't even really talk about music, you know, created the relationship, and the next thing I know, I'm playing 8 songs in, you know, EMI Publishing on Music Row in Nashville, and it was just crazy. So through, you know, getting to my producer, Brian, a friend of mine, Greg Dispins from Texas, he kind of started helping out with the songwriter crews, and I called him just out of the blue. I said, hey, man, I'm looking for someone to produce a single, and I'm looking for a Nashville producer to do it. So he's like, well, call Brian. He's been one of the people that have been on the crews in the past as a guest, you know. He had a number one in the U.S., and they, you know, he comes in and talks about songwriting. So I met Brian. So then while I'm down there in Nashville just working on my next single, I was like, you know, I need a summertime song. So if anyone's been to the website, it's like, you know, that was my single last year, Sweet, Sweet Summertime.
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
We had some great success with that song. We filmed a video for it in Destin, Florida, which is on the website as well, and YouTube and all that. But it just, everything just keeps spiraling, and I meet all, you know, all these great people. Andy Zach, a friend of mine, she shot the video. She's done stuff for, like, Josh Thompson, and her husband, Ken Johnson, wrote for Josh Thompson, Beer on the Table. I don't know if you've heard that song before, but they're just in the mix. They're friends with Lee Bryce. They're, you know, and it just... Everything just keeps going on and on this way for me right now. I consider it to be very lucky, you know. And but again, it all leads back to, like, you know, all I want to do is write good songs and get them to people. And so far, so good.
Jamie, let's talk about your musical influences, the artists who you listened to when you were growing up and wanted to imitate, copy, and maybe become like.
Well, That's an interesting question, because I've been all over the map. I just love, you know, all types of music, and it's kind of reflected in my music now a little bit. But I started out as a kid, you know, looking at the Sears catalog, electric guitar, thinking, man, do I ever want one of those? And I want to do that. So my whole focus for years, and, you know, in high school, and was all about becoming that crazy, you know, shredding electric guitar player from, you know, the late 1980s. And little did I realize that 4 years later, you know, Nirvana and Pearl Jam and all those guys came out, and that whole thing was dead. Like, you know, it's like, I'm glad I went and learned all that to not be able to do it now. So, you know, I go, well, okay, I still want to continue the guitar thing. And so I started studying classical guitar in university and playing, you know, piano and cello and, you know, any instrument, drums, you know, jazz drums and all that, anything I could get my hands on. And, you know, since I was about 14 starting into music, I've always, you know, been blessed to be just natural at it, you know. And yeah, that was kind of my focus, just become a guitar player for a band. And but once I started songwriting, I started singing, and I started, you know, working that part of my music. And you know, I always say I finally found my voice, like, and trust me, it took a while. And now I'm just, you know, exactly where I want to be, and it's just, we're having a great time right now.
Now, for songs that you're pitching to other people, Jamie, who would be some of those dream pitches you envision one day soon having? That, do you have, like, songs that you think are just, man, this could be a Rascal Flatts song, or this could be a Jason Aldean song? Do you have those in your catalog?
Well, yeah, and I mean, it's a tough time right now because, you know, I'm now in the mix you know, in Nashville with my writer friends, and it's like, man, I can just walk up to that whoever and hand them the song, or my backup singer sings for Faith Hill and Tim McGraw. Like, it's all the players on my album, you know, like Adam Schoenfeld, he just toured, did the Vegas thing with Tim and Faith, and, you know, it's just kind of surreal, that part of it, because my focus was just get in contact with these guys, just get your songs cut by these guys, that's your focus. Now that I'm an artist, I'm like, man, I got all these songs, and I want them. So, you know, but you could never say no to, you know, Toby Keith or, you know, and you know, we're in talks with some of those guys about certain songs, and yeah, I don't think it's a dream pitch. I think it's just like, for me, it's like, you know, things keep changing, and you know, that songwriting now, because like I said, I want the songs that I've done, so yeah. So I can't give you
the website is jamiestever.com for everybody to check out and learn more about Jamie. Let's turn to the song now called No One's Stronger Than a Mother, which has been brought out to help support the great organization called MAD, which we all know as Mothers Against Drunk Driving. It's a beautiful song, which we're going to share in a moment, Jamie, that you wrote. Tell us about how this song became connected with MAD.
Well, yeah, I approached MAD Canada, and you know, I was looking for somewhere to partner the song up with, and we were on a radio tour last year, and we're in Winnipeg, and I was sitting with my manager having dinner, and I just had this little light bulb go off, and I was like, you know what, I hate to say this, but because, you know, everyone likes an up-tempo song for radio, you know, everyone's always submitting ballads, and it's like, what's going on? So I'm like, I hate to say this, but you know what, No One's Stronger Than Mother is going to be my next single, and it's going to be paired with a major charity in Canada. And so we approached a few different ones, and, you know, some of them had guaranteed minimums, which I could not, you know, do. And so we contacted MAD, and, you know, I researched MAD Canada, and, you know, to see where they're at, like, where do they market everything, and are they in the country market, and so on. And I just thought, you know what, this is the perfect pairing with this song and them, because it's not, you know, citizens against drunk driving. It's not fathers against drunk driving. It's mothers. So
right.
Take a couple steps back, instead of, you know, basically the tragedy and the aftermath of what happens, and they do so much work, you know, helping people that have been injured by a drunk driver, families that have lost someone. And it's quite an amazing organization. I just thought, you know what, I would love to be a part of this, because, you know, let's face it, country music and alcohol kind of go together. Festivals. And,
they do.
You know, all kinds of events like that. And you know, we need a presence there. And I just thought, you know what, this song's perfect. I want to be that guy. And basically, you know, like I said, it's not citizens, it's mothers. You know, so as far as the song being paired with them, it came down to that. It's like, you know, they care. You know, they're not saying don't drink. They're just saying don't drink and drive. So
exactly.
And they are the best, because, like, I went in right away. I looked at their financials, and what I saw was $7 million in and $7 million out. It's not like they're pocketing any money. Okay? You
right.
have to run the staff and so on, but I mean, I just thought that's fantastic. You know, I want to be a part of that.
Now, how can our listeners help out as far as this song goes? Is it the money that is received from downloads? Does that go towards MAD?
Yeah, anything to do with that song, whether you buy the album or whether you just buy the single, you know, all the proceeds from that single go directly to MAD. And, you know, we just really want to get the awareness out there, especially you got prom season coming up, you got, you know, the long weekend, and, you know, all summer long, all year long, there's always events. It's like, you know, it's festival season now. So, you know, my hope and plan is to be at those festivals and give MAD, you know, that kind of a presence. So.
I think it's great that you can do that, not only have great music, but a great message behind it and tied to an organization such as MAD. Our listeners can head to jamiesteever.com to download the song, which is also at iTunes. Let's share the song now, Jamie, and then we'll come back. We've got more to talk about here on In the Country. This is Jamie Steever, and No One's Stronger Than a Mother.
Looking through old photographs, there's Grandma holding my old man. After him came four more boys, three lovely daughters. Grandpa worked so hard for not much pay. I swear she raised those kids on faith. When times got tough, she just got tougher. She was just 100 pounds and 5 foot old. If you stumbled, she'd be there to break your fall. She's always there when you need her. She's always praying when you're weaker. She's more amazing than the world's 7 wonders. And she may worry, she may cry, and many times you don't know why. She holds the weight of her family on her shoulders. Got a heart that would love you like no other, and no one's stronger than a mother. December 1983, us three kids in the backseat. Mom was at the wheel, the snow was blinding. We hit some ice, slid off the road. I don't know how we missed that pole. It must have been that prayer that she was saying. I remember just like it was yesterday. She dug that old car out and we were saved. She's always there when you need her. She's always praying when. And many times she don't know why. She holds the weight of a family on her shoulders. She's got a heart that will love you like no other, and no one's stronger than a mother. I won't forget the day my baby boy was born. I've never seen my wife so strong. She's always there when you need her. She's always praying when you're weaker. She's more amazing than the world's 7 wonders. And she may worry, she may cry, and many times you don't know why. She holds the weight of a family on her shoulders. Got a heart that would love you like no other, and no one's stronger than a mother.
Ontario country artist Jamie Steever, and that song is called No One's Stronger Than a Mother. All the proceeds from it are going towards Mothers Against Drunk Driving, that great organization. And you can head to iTunes or jamiesteever.com to download it and to help out in that way. And Jamie, I understand that your great-looking website was designed by Jillian Fitzgibbon.
It was time for an upgrade, so we did some changes on it, yeah.
She's done a great job. It looks terrific. I wanted to ask you, when you talk about songwriting, you talk about coming up with the title first. Is that pretty much 9 times out of 10, do you find you have the title and the rest of the song is going to be easier because of it?
Yeah, I think once you have, you're an experienced writer, I think what happens is you just, you come up with that idea and then you're like, okay, now sit down and figure out how to get to that idea. And, some examples are, you know, when I was growing up, you know, I was younger in church, and I remember this Bible, and it had like four pictures on the front of the Bible, and one was a girl holding up a cardboard sign on the side of the road that says "Anywhere but here," like just hitching a ride with her suitcase and all that, and that stuck with me forever, you know. And I wasn't a songwriter then, and I just never forgot that image, and I wrote a song called "Because I've Been There," and the whole, you know, first part of the song it talks about that, you know. You know, I saw a young girl standing on the side of the road with a suitcase full of everything she owned, and I could see her tears even through that pouring rain, you know. So it gives that kind of nice
wow.
imagery. And, you know, ideas like that. We were in Saskatoon for the CCMAs just last year, and we went to one of their functions, like one of their galas midweek, like basically a party for, you know, that city. And so there's about, I don't know, like 3,800 people there. And, you know, we saw these two girls. They had, you know, rednecks rock until the break of dawn T-shirts. And they were, you could just tell, you know, they were up to no good. So I said to my manager, I said, you know what, I'm writing this song called "Country Girl, Like, Causing Trouble." And the track turned out amazing, amazing. Like, so I can't wait to release that song, actually, because, you know, that's just the truth, right?
Yeah, that is so true, and that's great that these real life experiences, you know, become a song. Have you written one that you've shared with somebody that was really personal, that was maybe a little tough to share, not because it was negative, but it was just a vulnerable type of song?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few of those on the album. I've covered a lot of ground on the album. Like, it's fun as all get out, and then, you know, I have, you know, a song called "Kind of Love," and it's about divorce. You know, it's about these different kinds of love. There's this kind and there's that kind, but it's the kind that I have with you. And he's talking to his kid, and it goes to the mother saying the same thing. She's talking to her kid. You know, there's a kind of love, you know, that comes from heaven you can't undo, and that's the kind I have with you. So it's really, you know, I love great lyrics, and I wrote that one with a buddy of mine from right near my hometown, Marina Sandertot. And, you know, another song I did with Marina is called "This Old Table." And it was just, you know, he said to me, you know, I met him. He was in a band in the 70s and did signed to RCA and all that in L.A. and had this rock band thing, and then, you know, just we hooked up somehow, and he was showing me lyrics, and he said his grandson said to him, hey, you know, they were cleaning out the grass, and then the grandson said, hey, why don't you get rid of this old table here and, you know, sell it at the yard sale? And he's like, yeah, he's like, I can't sell that table. He's like, you have no idea the things that have happened around that table. And
right.
I just went, I want to write that song. Like, let's do it. So, you know, we sat down and we went at it, and that was back in like 2004 we started that song. And then, you know, we worked it and worked it and worked it, and we pitched it in Nashville, and it's just like, you know, getting word from, you know, demo studios saying, man, this song is incredible and it's going to be a standard, and, you know, and we pitched it, and no one was biting on it, and I was just like, are you kidding? I said, you know what, I'm just going to do that song. So... so it's on there, and like I said, it's just those kind of ideas that I just jump. I'm like, man, that's it. Like, you know, and I just want, like, the music business and in any country can do whatever it wants. You know, I just want people to hear good music and, you know, respect songwriters, because, I mean, most people don't have a clue that, you know, so-and-so didn't write that song. Everyone thinks the artist wrote that song. And
exactly.
I'm telling you,
that's
there's
so true.
A bunch of people out there that deserve a little more credit than they're getting, you know. So.
That is so true. I mean, the songwriter generally goes unnoticed unless they're a big artist themselves. But they're writing these great songs. And as you said, a lot of times listeners do attribute the song to the artist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just how it is. That's the facade,
yeah.
Right? So I want to be one of those guys, like, okay, you can play, you can sing, you can write. Like, you know, he's actually doing his own stuff. That's great.
Now,
Jamie,
have you ever given thought to a duet partner? I like to ask this question because, I mean, I love duets and the way the right male and female voice go together, and, you know, whether it's an up-tempo or a ballad, but just the combination. Have you ever given thought to having someone on one of your albums or songs, another artist, a female artist?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've been asked that before, and I mean, it would have to be someone that, you know, we would work good together and blend. And, I mean, there's some really good, you know, Canadian artists like Carolyn Dawn Johnson, you know. She's fantastic. Yeah. Shania Twain, you know, like, why wouldn't I, right?
So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You wouldn't say
you know,
no.
It's just one of those, it's one of those things. Now, there's probably a few that I wouldn't, but, you know, I just, you know, I know I'm going to end up writing that song sometime. I'm going, you know, who I need to do, you know, have on this song is a female artist.
Yeah.
And I know I'm going to have to find one. So if there's any out there listening, then give me a call.
They can head to jamiestever.com and get in touch with you. Now, I want to hear what your performances, your concerts are like, because I know you've done a ton of festivals and you've opened up for people like Gord Bamford, Chantal Krabiazic, Jan Arden, some great Canadian artists right there. What is it like on stage and opening up for some big name acts?
Well, it's you know, it's my life, you know, and the fact in the past couple of years just pursuing this, you know, it's fantastic. And I mean, I've had, you know, many different bands in the past and right now I go out as a three piece band. So it's me and a bass player and a drummer. And, my guys are super experienced. My drummer's, you know, he's played in LA and he's toured New Zealand and, you know, fantastic bass player as well. And I'm just, you know, we go out and I'm like, you guys are a three-piece? Like, you sound, you know, sounds amazing. And I'm like, well, Rush is a three-piece. They sound pretty good.
Yeah,
so,
true.
I don't know. I love the live aspect because that's exactly what I'm talking about. I don't want to be that facade. I don't want to be that, you know, little thing you set on the stage or you just only see on a TV station or only on audio, you know, whatever. You know, like radio and, you know, I like connecting with the fans and I like to see the reaction to songs. And that's probably the biggest thing is seeing the reaction to songs. Like we played after Eric Church, we did a after party kind of thing in Sudbury and it was, you know, it was packed house and we were playing songs no one had ever heard before. Like Sweet Sweet Summertime was on the radio up there lots, but we played like the song I was talking about earlier, Country Girls like Causing Trouble, and the whole place was going crazy. And I thought, well, that's a good one. So it's nice to kind of gauge your songs too. And I know, I should play a lot more songs I'm working on at the time rather than already recorded to do my own little test market.
That is cool. That must be neat when you start to play a song like that, when Country Girls Cause Trouble, and the crowd gets into it because you know you've got something.
Yeah. Well, and I met with Ralph Murphy, you know, Canadian songwriter. And
yeah,
Ralph's just like, Jamie, we'd met in the lobby at the CCMAs at a hotel across the street from whatever. And he said, Jamie, you don't write songs about this. You don't write songs about this. And, you know, we all know, you know, Ralph, the songwriting book writer and
Murphy's Law.
And anyway, so he's like, you don't write a song about yourself. You don't write a song about your tractor or a dirt road or whatever. He's like, you write a song about girls, four girls. That's it. If you want a number one song, that's all you do. So that week I came up with that song and another song, track two on the album, Make My Day, which is, when you listen to the song, it's a clever way to get to that title yet again. Famous, you know, Clint Eastwood saying, go ahead, make my day, right?
So right.
I thought that's going to be a fantastic country song. And again, it's about girls. So, you know, I'm sorry I'm giving all my secrets away, but
there you go.
Just
anybody
took
listening,
advice.
Anybody listening between you and Ralph is going to know what they've got to write about. So you write about girls, for girls, and that's one formula.
That's right. Yeah. So
that is really cool.
I don't know.
Now,
Dean Brody had Canadian girls, which I guess did okay too, right?
That's right. That is amazing. Have you had other advice given to you, whether it's specifically songwriting, Jamie, or just in your career in general? Some really good advice that you've applied and you thought, yeah, this that person was correct.
Well, as far as strictly being a songwriter, if you're pitching songs and going out there and you want to, you know, make a career as a songwriter, you know, the main thing I always say is get used to hearing no, because you're going to hear it a lot. And, you know, it's just one of those things. You hear no. And some of the biggest songs in the world have been passed on by major publishers. And 2 years later, it's a number one song. And it's you know, the publishers, they, you know, they know what they're doing. They know what they're looking for, but also things are timely. Certain songs fit
right.
certain years better than another, or certain artists, like, you know, you're pitching the song to Kenny Chesney, you know, maybe Kenny just broke up with his girlfriend, so don't sing about, hey, I love you, baby, and you're the best, because he's not
right.
ever going to cut it. So you need to know about the artists' lives and where they're at right now, and, you know, that's kind of my advice on that. And my personal advice is, you know, don't, you know, to the best of your knowledge, you know, don't put something out that isn't better than what's on the radio. Like, listen to the radio constantly. Those are the people that are getting their songs selected by an artist, and that's it. So if you write a song and, you know, you just go put it up against Jason Aldean's song. Say, is it better than his song? And then if you can say yes, well, then go ahead, put it on your album or pitch it to an artist.
That's great advice, because that's really as far as you have to look. I mean, obviously easier said than done to write that kind of song, but to actually know, to compare, yeah, listen to the radio, and that's what's getting heard, and that's what people are recording. So, because a lot of people do believe their songs are amazing when they really should probably get critiques, as hard as that can be, and you've obviously been through that process. Somebody maybe said, you need to work on this. That's hard to take.
Oh, yeah. I mean, talking to Jason Blum, it's like, you know, he does songwriting conferences, and, you know, like, people hear their song sucks and they're suicidal, you know? It's like, oh my, so he always gives that little pre-speech, like, look it, you know, this is what I've done. It's just my opinion, but I have a lot of research. And he's like, there's no, you know, rules to songwriting. There's no strict rules, but there's tools. And those tools
right.
are what you have to apply to each song, you know, as far as how the format of a song, like where the verse and chorus is and where the bridge is or the solo and the length of a song. You know, you're not going to write an 8-minute song and get it on the radio. It doesn't work like
that's
that.
Right.
So
that's right.
It's really great. And I went for years of all that, you know, this is how you do it. And like I said, the gentleman that I wrote with right off the top there, the song we did, This Old Table, he had been there and done that. He had pitched to Nashville, and I got to sit down and see all this stuff, and he said, this is what hasn't worked. So I wasn't learning about what does work. I learned about what didn't work. So then I didn't even go there, right?
That's so true. There's a long list of what doesn't work, what to avoid, as much
yeah.
as there is what to do.
Well, yeah, and as a songwriter starting out or intermediate, it's one of those, it's one of those things, like, you know, that's valuable information. That just saved me, like, 10 years of pounding the pavement or, you know, doing all that legwork, you know,
yeah.
getting rejected, all those kinds of things, you know. And, I mean, you can still be creative. You can still come up with fresh ideas. And, like I said, you know, it's a lot of homework, really.
Yeah. For you, we talked earlier about the title, Jamie. Do you have an equally... I won't say easy, but are you able to equally create the melody and the lyrics, or are you stronger in one area? Does one give you a little more of a challenge?
You know, I said it before, I always have musical ideas, and, you know, like, just years of playing music and, you know, singing, and I always have that kind of on the back burner, so to say, and they're just there. And then when I hear a certain title, that musical phrase kind of pops in my head, like, hey, I could use that. Like my single Sweet Sweet Summertime, the riff you hear at the beginning of the song and throughout, I mean, I had that riff for about 6-7 years, and I thought, that's such a cool guitar riff, what can I ever do with that, though? So then I ended up down in Nashville, and I played that, and my producer went, oh my god, that's it, you know. And we wrote Sweet Sweet Summertime.
Man, I love the taste of nothing but time.
a lot of water and a fishing line under a clear blue sky. Wasting the day with a few good. And bleach blonde hair might be me, but man, I swear things get hotter when all the girls show up. Ain't doing nothing cause that's the plan. A little time off for a working man. It's what I want, it's what I love. Can't get enough of nothing but time. A lot of water and a fishing line under a clear blue sky.
Nashville, when you've been there, you've obviously had a chance to go to some venues where songwriters are performing, some of the bigger name songwriters. Have you had that experience where you've got to hear one of the songs that we have later heard on radio? You've sort of had a sneak preview of it?
Well, yeah, and going back to the Texas Songwriter Cruise, I mean, Tom Lutheran from EMI brought work tapes, you know, like, you know, people have no idea what we do, and it's like you turn on your iPhone or your computer and you hit play, and there's two guys, they just wrote a song, and you sing it. Well, I've heard like Lady Antebellum songs on acoustic guitar and two guys in their little writer room singing them. And I mean, that's just how it's done. When I just, you know, demo a quick song, that's how we do. We just turn on the iPhone, okay, it's written, let's sing it, and then we hand it off to the band leader at the studio, and he'll chart it all out, and the guys go in, and we're in the studio, and they click play on the cell phone, and here's what it's supposed to sound like, guys, and then away they go. You know, they lay down the track. So that town, you know, there's no messing around there. Like, people know what's going on, and things can happen really quickly. That's why I like going there.
Yeah, that's got to be magical when you've gone from that guitar vocal into the studio and it happens that quickly. And I know the Nashville musicians really pick it up quick, so you've got your finished product. And that's got to be great when you're hearing something that you've only played with the guitar and your voice. Now you've got the fully produced version of it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's funny, like a lot of those songs, like the Lady A songs, or like I've heard, you know, countless, you know, major cuts. Just on a rough demo, but it still sounds like exactly like the song. And I'll be posting, you know, the title track off my album soon, Pretty Good Start, from basically that cell phone on my website. If people sign up on my newsletter on the little player on the front page, I'll be able to email you work tapes and stuff like that. So it's kind of special.
That's really cool.
Fans, you know, sign up on the email and I'll let you hear Pretty Good Start as it was written in the room, and then you can, you know, hear it on my website, the finished version.
The website is jamiesteever.com. I love that idea. I love to hear when I know the fully produced version, then take a step back and hear the rough demo, if you want to call it that. It's really fun to hear what the song started as to the fully produced version.
I mean, it's really amazing, and it's great for fans to hear that. You know, they never get to hear that, and I'm going to bring up some of my Nashville buddies, and in this summer, maybe later on in the summer, to do writer's rounds, because, you know, there's open mics and there's all kinds of things, but, you know, everyone's heard of the Bluebird Cafe and all that, and you get four guys in and they all sing their hit song and they just keep going around in a circle, and it's an intimate, it's a, you know, it's a really, really cool thing to go to. And the CCMAs also has it with the Songwriter Cafe. I don't know if you've been to that, but it's incredible. You know, you get to hear songs as they were written. You know, we heard Eric Church's Springsteen, you know, just this past year there. And it's definitely make it out to the Songwriter Cafe at the CCMA Awards. It's quite the event. And, you know, people gain a whole new appreciation for songwriters. And I think that's fantastic.
For sure. Such a big part of the business and such a big part of the enjoyment we get out of music is what the songwriters create. Jamie, thanks so much for being part of the show. So glad we could set this up and share your music. And, again, I'll encourage our listeners to head to jamiestever.com. Thanks so much for being here.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
My guest tonight has been country artist Jamie Stever. I'm Dave Woods. Be sure to check out more country interviews at inthecountryinterviews.com.